whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. You may be seated. The title of this message is simple this morning. It's the end times. The end times. In the Old Testament, we're told of the duty of the watchman. The watchman was to wait upon the wall. And when he saw danger, he was to sound the alarm. And in doing so, he would spare himself of the blood of those that he failed to warn being upon his head. But if he did not blow the trumpet, if he did not sound the alarm, then those that perished, their blood would be upon his head. I intend to execute my duty this morning as the watchman on the wall. I want to tell this congregation that we're in a mess, and we live in a nation that's in a mess. I've been praying to God to give me the anointing to speak the truth in love. That I intend to do. We need to get serious about God. The end time, friend, is upon us. Now, in case you're a visitor here, hadn't been around church much, let me tell you what's ahead of you. I want you to hear it. I want you young people to hear it. There's going to be a rapture. I mean, I'm taking the Bible at face value. I'm not going to get into that argument pre, mid, post. If you used to hold a pistol on me and make me choose, I'd say I'd pre. But I would say this. I don't know how much trouble we're going to go through before pre even gets here. We're not getting out of here on no bed of ease. Forget it. We're not escaping anything. Amen. So there is that. Then there's going to be a judgment of the Christian, and a judgment at the end of this thing called the Great White Throne Judgment. And if you're lost, you're going to be there, and there's not going to be any grace. And folks, there's not a one of us in this room want what's coming to us. So the only hope we got's in Jesus Christ. At the end of this thing, there's going to be a millennial kingdom, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in the morning. This morning. The millennium. And that's where Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Sandwiched in between all of this somewhere, there's going to be an Antichrist. There's going to be a man that is going to embody all the evil that's in this world right now. Can you imagine that? I know he's coming because the Bible says the spirit of Antichrist is already here. That's 2,000 years ago. We don't have to wait on that. The opposition against Jesus Christ is here. Then there's going to be a false prophet that's going to do miracles. Listen, you better not follow miracles. You better watch out if you're following some sort of supernatural manifestation, for it may not be from God. Because this false prophet, if I'm reading the Bible right, is going to have the power to work supposedly miracles. Now let me tell you what Antichrist actually means. It can mean two things. It can mean opposed to Christ, anti. But it also can mean in place of Christ. And there is coming another one at the end of this age. Whether he's here now or not, I don't know. Who he is, I don't know. But not only is he going to be opposed to Christ, but he is going to pretend to be Christ. Then there's going to be a mark of the beast. And if you don't take that mark, you don't have any business transaction. Now, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, before there was a computer, when I first started studying this, I couldn't figure out how it's going to work. But I'm going to tell you something. Most of us keep jobbed upside our head. Hello, I'm talking about a telephone. Something that they can track you to pinpoint with. Amen. You can't. It'll get one of these days. You're going to be living in a cash-free society. You're almost there right now. And every bit of it's tied together with something called cyber world. We have sat here and allowed technology to cook our goose. Amen. Hello? And can't wait till something else comes out where we can buy it and call it progress. I'll tell you, this thing is yoking together. And before it's over with, maybe I need to teach through Revelation one of these days. You need to know exactly what's ahead of you. But before it's over with, there's going to be a one world government and a one world church and a one world economy. And it's all going to be ruled from one place by one man. And he is the embodiment of all evil. And if you don't play ball with his ball, your head's going to roll. They that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? I think all that's on us. I think it's on us. Now, don't worry, we're going to come back to Luke 12. I know where I'm at here. But, first of all, why I believe we are in the last days. Why I believe? Everybody's thinking about ISIS, whatever that means, is Islamic State. No, that's not why I think we're in the last days. When I went to school, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, I was taught that there were three crusades already been fought over the Holy Land. My Bible says that Ishmael's hand's going to be against every man, and every man's hand's going to be against him. And it has been that way. And everybody said, well, why is it so bad now? I will tell you why. Until the United States of America went over there and developed their oil fields, the only thing they had was a camel and a donkey and a whole bunch of sand. But now they have the technology and the money, thanks to us, to come over here and kill us. You might as well hear it. But that's not why I think that we're in the last time. That scourge has always been here. Anybody that's ever come in contact with any of those folks knows that they've always been militant. And they always will be militant. I have stood on dirt work and earth work and castles in Romania that they used to fight back what they call the Turks. 300, 400, 500 years ago. This is nothing new. They probably thought they was in the end times back there then, too. That's not why I think, oh, what about Ebola? Well, I read where there's going to be 1.5 million die within the next 6 months. But that's nothing new either. We've had the bubonic plague. We've had the black plague. Hello? Then, of course, we've got abortion that's killed more than that. Now, I don't believe it's that. I'm going to tell you why, and then we're going to look at some scripture. I'm not going to say anything to you I can't back up out of the Bible. You figured that out already, hadn't you? I think it's the end time because of the absolute apathy and deadness of the church. Now, I'm going to show you scripture. Let's go to the scripture. Keep your place in Luke, because I'm going to come back, and we're going to look at the scriptures as to what we can do about it. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Here, right here. I've got a better word than ISIS. Hello, y'all out there. I've got a more sure prophecy than the Ebola plague. I've got God's Word.
We need to hear it.
This know also. This is verse 1, chapter 3, 2 Timothy. Most of us will quote this by heart, but do we believe it? This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Young folks, you need to be ready to meet Jesus. Old folks, you need to be ready to meet Jesus. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, have you ever seen any more selfish society than we're living in right now? I hope I don't have to preach every one of these words to us. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's rebellious young'uns, in case you that need a whipping, in case you don't know what that is. Unthankful. Do you know the Bible says to whom much is given, much is what? Folks, we've been given everything in this world. And instead of giving back to those that one that has given us, we have become a bunch of unthankful, bratty kids. Say, I love you, Pastor. I told you, we need to blow the trumpet around here. Unholy, without natural affection. Why, in this country, if you're against homosexuality and that kind of union in marriage and all such a thing as that, why, you're an unkind person. I'm going to tell you something. God said it's between a man and a woman.
Amen.
In wedlock. Without natural affection. Truth breakers. You better get it down to courthouse. You better get it notarized and better to get your lawyer. Because a man's handshake don't mean nothing no more. His word means nothing anymore. False accusers. Incontinent. Can't wait. Boy, the credit card folks and bank folks making lots of money off that I can't wait business. Incontinent. Got to have it now. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Ooh, here we are again. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. That's speaking to us right here. Not having godliness, but a form of it. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, I believe God has power, but that power is not going to work in me. I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. I believe here is why we're in the end time. Well, let's read some more. Chapter 4, verse 3. Verse 2, he tells us what to do. Preach the word. That's what I'm going to do this morning. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Let me say this. This time is already here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I'm trying to speak the truth in love here. But what's that word, won't endure sound doctrine? They can't tolerate it. It gets down in their little spiritual tummies and makes them sick. I can't stand that. I'm going to throw up. And they do, and they spew their puke all over town. Hello? Little spiritual tummies can't stand it. They can't endure sound doctrine. So they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And that teacher will keep telling them what they want to hear and they will be validated in it. The church will raise up the pastor they want. Amen. I'll say it this way. There would be no Joel Osteen if there wasn't thousands that wanted a Joel Osteen. No more than there would be Barack Obama in the presidency if there wasn't over 50% of this country that wanted that kind of president. They don't get there by themselves. They don't stay there by themselves, and they're not maintained by themselves. Somebody put them there. One more verse of Scripture, then we'll go back to the text. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verses 1 through 3. Now this is speaking of the Antichrist. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Thank God we're going to be gathered to Him one day. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of the Lord is at hand. There was rumors going on around 2,000 years ago that Jesus is about to come back. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Let's lump all these together. He said there's going to come a day and age when men are lovers of their own self, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness but know nothing of Him. And they're going to be dissatisfied with sound doctrine. They can't tolerate it. They want some folks to tell them what they want to hear. And they're going to come a great falling away. Now, I've got some good news for you and some bad news, or maybe shocking news. The good news is Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. He is going to have a church. And that church is going to be without spot and without wrinkle when He comes back. He will not be satisfied with the soul bride. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. He is going to have a church. That's the good news. Now here may be shocking. It's a whole lot littler than you thought it was. You don't believe me, come ride with me about 4 or 5 days. You'll decide that's... Amen. It's a whole lot smaller than you thought it was. But that's all right. God always works through a remnant. There was 2 out of the 12 spies. That's a remnant, isn't it? There's a remnant of the Israel going to be saved. And I'm going to tell you something. When this persecution, tribulation, and trouble hits, there's going to be a remnant that holds through. But blessed are those that endure to how long? Thank you. This country's in trouble. And we've got a lot to be praying about. He said there's going to come a great falling away. Now let me stop right here, then I'm going to go back to our text. And it's going to take all the plotting and planning and promoting that a staff of anybody can do to keep enough people coming to pay the light bill. But I'm going to tell you something, they're still going to fall away. Ain't not a staff in the face of this earth, a pastor, or nobody else, unless he's an ear tickler, that can override what God said in His Word that's going to happen. Amen. Now, that's why I think we are in the last days. Go with me over to the book of Revelation. I want you to understand exactly what we're saying. I don't want to leave any wiggle room. Revelation 19. Verse 7. Now when you get there, go back to Luke 12. I want to compare some scripture. Luke 12 and 33. Excuse me, 37. Blessed are those servants. We're in Luke 12 now, 37. We'll be in Revelation in a minute. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Is there any place in prophecy that speaks of the Lord sitting down at a table with His people? Is it? Revelation 19. What is the last of the last, if you're looking for a point here? What is the last of the last? This is how it's going to end up. This is the end of it right here. This is after Armageddon, the whole deal. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. That would be easy to allegorize. And by the way, there are a lot that says Revelations is an allegory. They also say that it's preterist, it's already been fulfilled. I disagree with every bit of that. No, you won't make a parable out of the marriage supper of the Lamb. You won't make an allegory out of the marriage supper of the Lamb. I will tell you something from Scripture here. There is coming a day when the church will sit down as the bride of Christ at the marriage supper and fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. It's looking better and better every day. I said it's looking better and better every day. Why can you be so sure, preacher? Well, the Bible's filled with prophecy. The Bible's filled with allegory that you make say whatever you want it to say. But he said in verse 9 of the latter, these are the true sayings of God. This is exactly how it's going to be. That's what that means. The true sayings of God. Not to be allegorized away. Not to make a parable and analyze something else by it. Not to twist it around, but to say, hey, there's coming a day, just as Jesus said in Luke 12, when we will sit down with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Verses 11 through 14 of chapter 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Notice, start with Faithful and True starts with capital letters if you've got the right Bible. And in him righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Now, by the way, let me say to you, this is the church right here, the army. And the church left the ground in Revelation 6 and has been in heaven and is now coming back. Hello? And I'm glad I'm going to be with him. And I'm going to sit down at the marriage supper. Now, you know what this millennial is going to be. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. After that's over, Satan will be released for a season. And then there will be a final skirmish. Then there will be heaven for an eternity. Now look at me. You ready for this one? You're not going to put it off 1 minute. Sticking your head in the ground like an ostrich is not going to stop it. Number two. And number three, it's going to come down just the way He has planned it from before this thing became even a speck of dust. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. This whole business was in the mind of God. And those that go to heaven are going to shout glory to Him. And those that He sends to hell will one day say, you were justified in your judgment. And I have been a sinner. He's going to be glorified in that too. Now since you can't change it, you can't ignore it and make it go away. You can close your eyes. You can be caught unaware, as the Scripture says. What do we need to do? Now, I have mentioned, let me say this to you. What's going on in this church is going on everywhere. But I'm not pastor of Everywhere Baptist Church. Thank God. This is enough. I don't want to be Pastor Buster of Everywhere Baptist Church. I have contemplated why I won't be pastor of anywhere Baptist church other than God called me. And I'm going to tell you the truth as long as I'm here. What can East Gina Baptist Church do right now, today? I don't know when Jesus is coming. I would be an absolute fool and ignorant of the Word of God to tell you if I even thought I knew you. What can we do? Join her if you need to. Let's go back to Luke 12. Verse 33, y'all pray. I'm just going to keep preaching. And when I'm finished, everybody down here, it's all right with me. Luke 12, verse 33. Let me give you four or five things. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Luke 12, 33. We need to send something ahead of us. Now this is what Jesus said. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He's talking about selling things and giving things. Actually, he is saying invest in things. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that we need to lay up our treasure where? In heaven. Where the thief won't break through and steal it, where moth can't corrupt it, where it won't turn into rust. In other words, the only safe place to have something is over yonder. Why is that? Look at this old bald head, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it's going to be burned up here. Don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. 2 Peter plainly tells us it's going to be wiped away. It's going to be a cleaning. Cleaning. God's going to clean him off a place for a new heaven and a new earth. He did it one time already with the flood. Why can't he do it with the fire? He will. And how do you invest in heavenly things? I will tell you how you invest in heavenly things. You, and we're not talking about cars and boats and stuff. We're talking about spiritual stuff. You invest your time, your tithe, and your talent in the work of God. That's how you send it over there, because that's all that's going to really matter. Do you understand that the only thing really going to matter in this world is what you really have done with Jesus and for Jesus? Because it's all going away, friend. It is going away. Don't hold on it too tight. Don't make a God out of it. It's not going to be here. Second thing we need to do is we need to tighten our belt. Verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your light shining. You know this. When that man out there working 2,000 years ago tightened that belt around his loins, he was going to do two things. He was going to fight. Second thing, he might work. And let me tell you something, church. We need to get in the fight. And I'm not talking about with each other neither. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down stronghold. Fight? There's a fight need to go on, all right. We need to be fighting Satan. You know why? I got a reason to fight Satan. I got 5 grandchildren. I got 2 great-grandchildren. The time it's all over with, I may have more great-grandchildren than I got grandchildren. And I don't want to see the first one of them go to hell. That's why I want these folks working with these kids, because I got some coming on just like you do. Y'all, amen or oh me? That's worth a fight, folks. There's something worth fighting for. Your family. And even your nation. You know by now. It don't matter who's the next president. It's going to take God to solve the mess we're in. Hello? And if this thing happens to go away, I'm in a kingdom that'll stand. So we need to fight. We need to work. Jesus said, occupy what? Till I come. Sunday school teacher, you need to teach Sunday school with all your heart. You might be teaching the next Billy Graham, if we got that much time. You might be teaching the next Billy Sunday, and you sure don't need to be giving them a bad example to follow. That goes for pastor, that goes for deacons, that goes for everybody in leadership ability. Hello? People are watching us, whether you know it or not. And they're just looking for an excuse not to. And let's don't give them one. Let's give them an excuse to love God because they see other folks doing it. Amen. And put our shoulders to the work. And if I'm not on the forefront, I can be praying for Adrian, that is. I can be praying for Monty and James, that is. Hello? If it wins one young one, if it causes one family, if it causes one soul to miss hell, it's worth it. And we can be telling other folks about Jesus herself, can't we? Boy, if we was excited about Jesus Christ, we was a stupid football game, this would be a wonderful place. Nothing against football, but I'm all for Jesus. We need to trim the lamp. We need to tighten the belt. We need to trim the lamp. Look at verse 35. Let your loins be girded about. And what? Your light burning. My light's my testimony. And I need to keep it shining bright. You know, Jesus said, no man lighteth a candle and put it under a bed or under a bushel. But I'll tell you one thing, the devil will try to put your light under a bed or under a bushel. He'll try to get you too busy to serve your God. I got this, 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 and this. Well, I do too. If I was doing any more, I'd have to have another day of the week. I don't believe I could keep up with another day of the week. I'm sure glad to see whatever Sunday get here. Sunday evening nap's always good. I need it. I can get too busy doing other stuff. Folks, when I get too busy, now listen to me, if I get too busy doing churchy work that I don't have time to pray and read God's Word, I'm too busy. Much less the other 40-11 dozen, I don't know how that worked out in algebra, 40-11 dozen things that comes our way. Does that speak to anybody but me? And he said, don't put it under a bed, don't get too lazy. Don't let say lullaby you to sleep and tell you it's going to be all right. Folks, we need to be occupying the premises. We need to trim the lamp. And we need to take control of our eyes. Look what he said in verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. I need to be ready. Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ today? Are you all ready to meet Him today? There's two ways of meeting Him. You may go out of here on the rapture, but if you're my age, most probably you're going out feet first. Amen. That's all right, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Be ready and be blessed. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve Him. Hear me. ISIS not going to have the last word. Muhammad not going to have the last word. Jesus Christ is going to have the last word. For he has been made Lord. And to him every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now hear me, and I'm going to close. Maybe. You do not live in a runaway world. It's not spiraled out of control. You don't live in a world that God can't do anything with it. Listen, God could take this whole business out of the way if He wanted to. You're not living in a world that God's setting up, wringing His hands, saying, "Oh, what am I going to do now?" No. You're living in a world that's in the birth pangs of a coming age. Just as a woman has birth pangs before she brings forth a child, this earth is in a birth pain situation. And it is symptomatic of the coming of another age wherein dwelleth righteousness. And the closer to the end it gets, the more intense and closer together the birth pains are. For that is the nature of them. But thank God it shall usher in the light of an eternal day. What to do now? Lay up treasure in heaven. Tighten your belt up. Go to work. Fight the devil. Turn your eyes upon Jesus Christ. Amen. For He may come at any minute. For the promise is, there shall be a shout and the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be gathered together. Understand what's going on around you and look for Jesus. Stand with me, please.